Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrews and St George's West Parish Church in Edinburgh on this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. You will find our order of service on the website. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and we welcome Peter Miller this morning who will be giving our reflection. The reader is Anne Hindle. Our vocal ensemble comprises Francis Cooper, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton, Tim Cooper and Andrew Carvel. Piano accompaniment is provided by Tim Cooper and Drew Crichton, and the service is produced by Andrew Carvel. Over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about the parables of Jesus and the upside-down kingdom of God. The poet R.S. Thomas, in his poem The Kingdom, likens it to festivals at which the poor man is king and the consumptive is healed, mirrors in which the blind look at themselves and love looks at them back, and industry is for mending the bent bones and the minds fractured by life. COVID-19 brought about the cancellation of our Edinburgh festivals, which usually fill the city to overflowing during the month of August. Yet nothing can cancel the extravagant kingdom of God, which shows up in unexpected ways and places. May we have eyes to see glimpses of the festivals of that kingdom, filling our hearts and lives in this time of worship and the days ahead. I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. Remembering when we could gather as a congregation, we worship now in our own homes. Remembering how Jesus drew the crowds, we worship knowing he draws us still in solidarity. Remembering how Christ fed the hungry, we worship now for food for the soul, each one of us a part of that glorious, noisy throng. And we worship God together in the singing of our first hymn, The One Who Longs to Make Us Whole.
Oh,
us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, all creation speaks of your glory. You are at work in the seeds that grow into flowers and fruits. You are present in both summer rains and sunshine. Let our gratitude be great and our worship be sincere. You listen out for the laughter of children and their delight in your world. Help us be filled with childlike wonder. We come to this time together with different needs. Some of us wrestling with problems that threaten to overwhelm us. Some with joys to share. Some of us hungering for what you alone can provide. Loving God, you meet each of us wherever we are and wherever we are at. Merciful God, the story of Jacob shows your willingness to enter into the messiness of our human struggles. We confess that too often we tighten up and hold on to our own desires. Forgive us what is wrong, strengthen what is right, and guide us in the right way. Help us to wrestle with the conflicting values and pressures that confront us. Help us loosen our grip and come to you open-handed and open-hearted, open to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, Jacob wrestled and asked for a blessing. We too ask for blessing in these strange and uncharted days when the world seems so out of joint. Help us to see glimpses of your kingdom in the making. You encourage us to stand strong, to seek the blessings that you have provided for us, to recognize the many ways that you are with us, giving us strength and courage. Help us receive your blessings and in turn be a blessing to others. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, Let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, What is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, Please tell me your name. But he said, Why is it that you ask for my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." May God bless to us the reading of Holy Scripture.
It's good to be here today, and I appreciate being asked to share in the service this morning in as we kind of slowly come out of COVID. And I haven't seen lots of you for a long time, but we remember today all our friends, especially our friends in the church who have moved on to be with God, and many others who have found this a difficult time. And today our two readings are complementary in a way. First of all, in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31, the story of Jacob wrestling with God. And the second is in Mark's gospel, where Jesus is healing the blind man in Bethsaida. And at first, it might seem that these two stories are quite different, one in the Old Testament and one in the New, but I think they're both very relevant for today as we struggle out of this situation we're in around the world. And as we think of these stories, we see many commonalities. In the first one, Jacob was alone. He sent his family away, his rather large family. And he encountered this person, this unknown voice, this mystery, in the darkness. And the mystery person asked what his name was, and he said, Jacob. And so there was a long kind of struggle, a mysterious struggle of faith. And then when daylight came, and that's important, I think, when daylight came, because we all believe that through darkness, daylight does come. The voice said to him, he asked, of course, the name of this person, but he got no reply. But then the voice said to him, you have struggled with God and with men and you have won. So your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. And then Jacob asked him what his name was, but there was no reply. But the encounter was blessed by the other person. And after it all, Jacob said that he had seen the face of God and he was still alive, and he named the place Peniel. And then in the story of the blind man in the Gospel of Mark, this person, we know very little about him, was brought by others to Jesus, and they begged him to touch him. But Jesus said he didn't want to do that in that place, so he led him out of the village to another place. And then, rather surprisingly, he spat on the blind man's eyes and asked if he could see. And this person replied, yes, I can see people, but they look like trees walking, so he couldn't see clearly. And once again, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and this time his eyesight returned completely, and the man saw clearly. And Jesus, as in many encounters in the gospel, sent him home with the order not to go back into the village. And of course, we don't know exactly what happened after that, but we do believe through faith that this man's sight was restored. Now, why I think both these stories, the story of Jacob wrestling with God and the blind man, are both extraordinary encounters with the divine. They're really a mystery, actually. And of course, we can't analyze them too deeply, because then, of course, we lose sight of what the core truth is, that they're taken in faith and goodness. But there are certain themes that go through both these stories, and in a way, they're completely contemporary themes. And that is why I think we refer back today, back and forward to these stories, because inside them, it's the same for us. Expectancy, struggle, darkness of different kinds. They're plural stories, and by that I mean they have many layers of meaning, of interpretation, of understanding, as do all the stories in the Bible. But at its heart, or rather at the heart of both these stories, is this experience of the divine interjecting into human experience, into day-to-day life, very much day-to-day life of both these people, in fact. The blind man, who probably didn't know if he could be healed at all or if there's anybody to heal him, and Jacob, who was in a different situation, but who was also struggling for light and understanding. And time again, in these few weeks that have passed, these months, and I've had the privilege of writing a weekly reflection, which has gone to many parts of the world, called A Candle in the Window. And what I've tried to do in these reflections are write about words of encouragement, but also, as in these stories, to see that we can't move forward without understanding the darkness, the struggle, the uncertainty. Many people across our country and across many other countries are fearful at this time, fearful of so many things. They probably can't express it all, but in their hearts, they're fearful. And these two people, in their own way, in our Bible stories, were also fearful. Fearful inside, or rather expectant, or in the hope of change. And so this experience that they had, where there was some kind of interjection of God, or an encounter with God, or an encounter with the divine, is one that we all seek today in different ways and out of different situations. On May the 31st, my good friend Dr. Runa Mackay, who gave her life to the Palestinian people and has been honoured by many obituaries in the Scottish and British papers, died very quickly at the age of 98, suddenly, and she was frail and died. And I had the privilege of giving the tribute at her funeral. And she had left behind certain things that she wanted read, she would like to have read at her funeral, at Runa's funeral. And one of them were these words, written by a Bishop Ken Untener, but used or appreciated by Archbishop Romero in El Salvador, who you may remember was the archbishop who was murdered, assassinated as he took Mass, as he said Mass for people, because of his commitment to the poor. And these words are sort of words for our time. I love them, actually, because they're so clear, but also in this same way as Jacob and the blind man, they lead with many different forms of expectation. So these are the words. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom of God is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. That is what we're about. We may plant the seeds that will one day grow. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is beginning. A step along the way. An opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. And why I feel these words are so relevant both to our texts today and to the situation we find ourselves in is the fact that we're not going to get complete answers. Our lives are full of unfinished agendas, as Leslie Newbegin, my former bishop in South India, said. Much is incomplete in our lives. But we all long, particularly in such times, I think, and I do certainly, as I face this long-term cancer, for some kind of simple, perhaps unexpected, interjections of the divine, as these two people in the stories also wanted or hoped for. And perhaps that's all we can get in this time, meaning by that, not something negative, but it's a fragment of God that could keep us going even in the darkest nights. And that's a wonderful thing if we can say we've got a fragment of God inside us. We talk about the image of God inside us, the image of God deep within us. But through all the world's great religions, what we've always been taught and reminded is, can we touch that fragment as these two people did? We don't need to know all the mystery. We don't need to know all the answers. We don't need to have a certain kind of faith or believe in certain structures. But what we do ask and what we seek and what we expect today is a fragment of understanding. And I think that as we go back to these stories, we can see so beautifully that this is something, whether we're ill as I am, and many people are ill, or we're mentally unwell just now with all the struggles, or we're uncertain about our economies, our personal economies, the global problems, or we're even uncertain of ourselves and we feel our faith is losing place, and all these things are true of our situation, we can still be still for a moment and experience these fragmentary moments of God's light, of God's love. I love this thing that I put in my first candle in the window on the 18th of March when lockdown came to us all. And it was written by Katie O'Meara, and it's such a simple thing in a way, but it reminds us to take ourselves to that place where we're available for these fragments to come into our lives. And Kitty wrote about the lockdown, and the people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being and were still and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows. And the people began to think differently. And the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they themselves had been healed. And as we think today on these two stories, Jacob wrestling unknown and yet coming out of that darkness into the light of God, and similarly for that unknown person on the roads of Bethsaida, finding the healing to his eyes, the healing for sight, we ourselves are walking these roads today, often with difficulties, often with struggles, often with the unknowns, certainly with uncertainties. I believe, as many do, that this virus will be with us in one way or another for a long time. And of course, at one level, that is depressing. But can we, through these things, experience these fragments, these moments when our lives, like the life of Jacob and the blind man, are interjected by the divine to remind us of a much deeper truth, of a greater reality, of a strength that is not our own? Let us be still just for a moment and think, and then I'd like to end with a little prayer. These words of this prayer I wrote many years ago, and I feel they still speak to us, perhaps more so when there is so much uncertainty around, but also hope. God of ancient calm, let your peace still us and your light illumine us. God of the flowing rivers, may we discover anew your flowing spirit. God of the lonely plains, touch these empty places within us where we are vulnerable enough to meet you and where we discover a new understanding of ourselves and of our world. Amen.
In the
We join together now in our prayers of intercession, and the response to Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. Loving God, hear us now as we pray for others in the name of Christ. This summer feels like no other, the usual patterns of living so disrupted. With holidays derailed, may there still be opportunities for rest for the weary and for children to experience joy and carefree living. May we build a country and a world where every child has enough nurture and nourishment to grow healthy and strong. Be with those who are unsure about their future, especially mindful of young people whose study and career plans have been thrown off course. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lift up those who feel bowed down, those who feel they are limping along. May they feel supported and strengthened by love. Bring your healing to those who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Lay your hand for a second time, a third time, and more upon those who are sick or grieving. For those who struggle with you, we pray that they find themselves through finding you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You know that anxiety surrounds us. Lockdown restrictions are easing, yet in some places being reimposed. Guide the policy and practice of governments and others in charge. And may we each take our responsibilities seriously for the good of all. We pray for wisdom for those who take decisions which affect patterns of work, and support for those affected by these decisions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, yours is a peaceable kingdom. We pray for those throughout the world enduring violence or injustice of any kind, that they may find relief, justice, and the blessing of peace, that truth may prevail over lies and peace over warfare. Lord, we thank you for each fragment of your kingdom you grace us with. Together, enable us to piece together a view of your bigger picture, both within us and around us, so that in our actions as well as our words, we proclaim, your kingdom come. We ask all this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. As this service of worship draws to its close, our service in the world continues. Hear these words of blessing for the journey. May God, who comes to us in the things of this world, bless your eyes and be in your seeing. May Christ, who looks upon you with deepest love, bless your eyes and widen your gaze. May the Spirit, who perceives what is and what may yet be, bless your eyes and sharpen your vision. May the Sacred Three bless the path before you and lead you on.